Okay, well, it's great to be here, my own house, but it's great to to be invited to participate, really. It's fantastic, and it forced us to kind of put our boxes away and officially move in, so thank you all for pushing that initiative. And I think it's a really important time to talk about something going way back to my childhood. When I was in elementary school, there was this kid who came in one time, and he had discovered horoscopes, and he went around asking people, like, oh, when's your birthday? Like, oh, he sounds friendly. He wants to get a present. No, looking at the thing. Oh, so you're this, you're that. I discovered two things at that time. Number one, why no one liked him. And number two, I discovered that my zodiac sign, I was born in the summer, I was born in July. So my zodiac sign is the crab, known as?
Scorpio?
No? Is it Cancer?
No.
Yanamakwa? What do they call it? So I found out that was the zodiac sign, and he was actually born on the same day as me.
Wow.
Born on my birthday. How's that for Mazel? So when I discovered about these zodiac signs, it made me uncomfortable, this idea that there's like some predetermined horoscope of what's going to happen to people and how things are going to go. Then I grew a little older and found out that like that's not really real. We don't really believe in horoscopes, don't believe in this Mazel idea. And then I got even older and realized that, oh, we do. Turns out there's many statements in Chazal that have to do with Mazel, this idea about being, I don't know, predetermined how people are going to be and what's going to happen to them. We're really going to conflate two different ideas tonight. One idea is about people's natures, their characteristics, people's temperament, people's IQ. Are those predetermined? Are people locked into a certain pattern when it comes to anger, when it comes to intelligence? Are those really predetermined before a person's born? The modern psychology says that they probably are. As a training psychologist myself, we do a lot of IQ tests and personality tests. We find out that these things are supposed to be at least stable throughout life. So maybe modern psychology says that these things are predetermined. And Chazal might say something similar. So that's one category, the idea of predetermined mazel when it comes to people, who they are, what they do. And the other idea when it comes to mazel is this idea about what's going to happen to a person. How long they're going to live, whether they'll be zochah to have children, how the children are going to live, whether they have money, parnasa, wealth, health. Are all these things predetermined, or is it kind of Hashem is deciding as he goes? I don't know. What have you been taught? How do you relate to this question? What do we think? Yesh v'yesh, machlokes. That's a good answer.
No, meaning like there are certain parts of your temperament that are predetermined, and there are certain parts that if you do certain hishtadlis or... certain things that...
Right. So some amount is predetermined, and there's some room for free will to kind of work within that framework. Other thoughts? Other ideas? Anybody predetermined to be a shouter-outer? So the reason I bring up this topic tonight is because this week's parsha is Parshas Lech Lecha, where the idea of zodiac signs, the idea of whether one is confined to Mazel or not, is actually discussed at great length. If you look in source number one, and we'll make the share the kind of share where you can follow along with the sources, if you prefer to eat or you're an audio learner, that's okay too. We'll make it understandable whether you're looking inside or not, or listening to the recording or not. Right? So in source number one, we have a pasuk, when Avram Avinu is already close to the age of 100 years old, he has not been blessed with Yitzchak, who's going to be his destiny, and he's a little bit depressed about it. He wonders if he's ever going to have this child with Sarai, and if he'll ever be able to have the family with her that he dreams of. And Hashem gives him some encouragement. Look at source number one, Vayotzei, Hashem takes him outside. Look up at the sky. Try to count the stars. Some of you can count them. Hashem says, your descendants are going to be like these stars. So what do you mean Hashem took him outside? So Rashi in source number two says, simple understanding is, Avram was inside and he couldn't see the stars. He didn't have a skylight. Hashem says, go outside. You'll see the stars. Hashem said, as many as the stars are, these will be your descendants. Rashi quotes an interesting medrash, where it's underlined in source number two. Lefi midrasho, amar lo tse me'itzagnina shalcha. Hashem was saying, go out, meaning go out and beyond from what is confined by the stars. Rashi continues, shereisa b'mazalo she'incha asi lahamid ben. Avram Avinu had complained, he saw in the stars, it was predetermined, Avram would never be able to have a son. Avram ein lo ben. Hashem says, yeah, Avram, if that's your name, Avram's never going to have a son. Aval Avraham, yesh lo ben. If you change your name and add an extra hey, then the stars say something different. V'chein Sarai lo teled, avol Sarah teled will change her name too, and she'll be able to have children. Ani kari lachem shem acher Hashem, so I'll change your names. V'yishtana hamazel. Rashi's comment really is based on the Gemara in source number three. This is going to be the main Gemara we're going to discuss tonight. The Gemara at the very end of Maseches Shabbos is talking about the idea whether Yesh Mazel Yisrael or Ein Mazel Yisrael. Loosely translated as, are Jewish people confined, defined by our mazel, whatever that means, we're going to have to define that, or Ein Mazel Yisrael. Maybe we are able to transcend, maybe we're not limited to this mazel, this idea of temperament, IQ, maybe when it comes to destiny, children, life, years, parnasa, health, wealth, maybe it's yes, maybe it's no. Like Mark quotes most of the Amorayim, and even the Tanayim before them, held that Ein Mazel Yisrael. And this is the Shita of Rav in source number 3, as Rashi's quoting a paraphrasing of Rav, Minayin She'ein Mazel Yisrael in source number 3, Shenemar Ar Pasuk. And again, Hashem's words bolded, Amar Lai Tzeme Itzagnina Shulcha. Avram had complained he wasn't going to have a person to inherit him and carry on his legacy, and Hashem says, nah, get out. Go out of that. Go out doesn't just mean walk outside, it means stop viewing yourself as confined by that. You should realize She'ein Mazel Yisrael, that a Jewish people are not. It's an awful lot of bed. So what just happened?
Yeah.
Is she crying?
No.
Okay.
No.
She
usually
you also heard that, but you didn't say anything.
Right.
No, it's just pretty normal. It's okay. So this is the idea of Ein Mazel Yisrael, which I guess is a comforting idea, right? We're not bound by the zodiac signs. We're not bound when it comes, I assume, to nature, when it comes to the things that we're born with, and there's no predetermined limitations on us. Everything is open. She climbed down the window. And she, hi. Right? So it's actually a very comforting idea, this idea of, say, go out. Make it stagnina shulchai. We're not bound by mazel. It's a very comforting idea. The problem is, that is that really true? If you look elsewhere in Chazal, they seem to understand. Right? If you look at Chazal, they actually do discuss the ideas we talked about before. Chazal, in source number 4, is really the main source we have to look at closely. It's the idea that Chazal give us so many factors, so many things that seem to be predetermined, the exact opposite, seemingly, of the idea of Ein Mazel Yisrael. Ein Mazel Yisrael is very comforting, very reassuring, that we're not bound by a certain future, that we're open and free to relate to Hashem in however we want. Suddenly we're going to find out that we actually have horoscopes, or horoscopes, if you want to call it that, right? It's a very scary idea. So Gemara starts in source number 4 by talking about born on the day of the week. Let's take a quick poll. Who here was born on a Sunday? Who here knows when they were born? Who was born on a Sunday? Monday? Tuesday. A lot of Tuesdays. Wednesday? Thursday? Friday? Shabbos Kodesh? Okay. So if you know what day you were born on, listen up to what the Gemara says about each day of the week, and what if you know your mazel, maybe you can see what your fate might be. So in source number 4. Gemara says, Ksiv up in Kaseh Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. It was written in the notebook of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. This is what he said. He says, Hai man the Bechab B'Shav, a person who was born on a Sunday, Yehegavar V'lo Chadavei, he'll be a person without one what, my V'lo Chadavei, without one what, Ilema V'lo Chav V'tivu, they won't have any good qualities, V'amar Rav Ashi, Ana Bechab B'Shav Havai, right? So listen up. The Gemara says, if it means they're not going to have any good qualities, that's why I asked first, to make it more uncomfortable, right? Rav Ashi says, Rav Ashi was one of the great compilers of the Gemara, who was Rosh Hashiva at the end of the time of the Amoraim, and he says, Anabacha b'shabah havai, I was born on a Sunday. So it can't mean that those born on a Sunday are not going to have one good quality. Ella, on the second line, lav chadalabish, maybe they're not going to have any bad qualities. That sounds much better. Rav Ashi also said, Anavadimi bar kakusta have b'cha b'shabah. Me and this guy Dimi were both born on a Sunday. Anamelech, I became the Jewish leader. The who? Have a Reish Ganve. He became this big thug, the head of this terrible gangster group, and murdering a lot of people. So which one is it? Sunday can't be a day where you're going to be all good or all bad. It can't be a day where you're going to be having mixers. So what does it mean? Samaria says, Ela ikula nativu, ikula nabishu. Those who are born on Sunday, he was born on a Thursday, I think. We'll have to see what that means. The idea is that a person born on a Sunday is going to either have only good qualities or only bad qualities. They're going to be extreme for good or extreme for bad. Why would that be so? My taima to everybody or v'choshech. On the first day of creation, kids for all the projects, right? First day of creation, God created light and dark. It's very binary. It's going to be either super light or super dark. That's for those who are born on Sunday. Moving on. Hai man to betray b'shal, person born on Monday. Yehegavar ragzon, it'll be an angry person, a hot-tempered person. Who's laughing? My time, Hashem de Ifligu Beimaya, because on the second day Hashem separated the upper waters and the lower waters. Today of Machlokas is a day of splitting and ripping things apart. Haiman the Betlas of a Shabbat, those born on Tuesday like myself. Yehegaver Atir, be rich. Hear this? And be rich. Vizanayah, be unfaithful and promiscuous. See that one you didn't hear? Right? It's this idea, why my time I'm ashamed to every bay asavim, that the plants and the vegetation was created. Rashi explains that the vegetation, it grows, it's constantly growing bigger and more wealth, but it doesn't stay in its lane. It goes all around and really can't keep itself in its own proper lane. Haiman debar bav shava, person born on Wednesday. He had gaver chachem benayar, a very bright, smart person. Pretty simple. My time is shem de it lebe moros. On Wednesday, fourth day of creation, God put the sun and the moon in the sky, the luminaries, so are going to be a bright person. Haiman de bechamisha b'shal, person born on Thursday. He had gaver gomach hasad, a very kind, generous person. My time is shem de ivru be dagam v'ofos. Rashi explains that these are the creations, the creatures that Hashem has to personally feed. They don't live among people, among society. Kadosh Baruch Hu personally has to feed them. It's a sign of great compassion. So those born on Thursday are mesugala, are going to be destined for kindness. Haiman de b'mali Shabbos, a person born on a Friday, Erev Shabbos, he had gavar chazran, a person always chasing after things. Amar Nachman Bar Yitzchak, chazran b'mitzvah, specifically a person who's a seeker, person constantly chasing after mitzvahs. Haiman de b'Shabbos, a person born on Shabbos itself. What's it going to say? Sounds like something pretty good. Yehi b'Shabbos yamas, they're going to die on a Shabbos. Womp womp. Al da'achilu alohi yom rabba de Shabbos, because they violated Shabbos to give birth to you, so then, tough. Man, this is tough. I'm a Rava Bar Shila. No, the Kadisha Rabbi Yiskar. I think they're going to call a person like this a very holy, special person. Wow. Who's excited for this topic? A scary idea. What is it? What happened to Ein Mazal Yisrael? This idea that we're not confined by anything, we're not limited by anything, we have this free choice, we have the sense of transcending the stars. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Koya Zaracha. Your kids are going to be like this, not only in terms of number, but they too are going to transcend the stars. They're going to be able to do anything. Your potential is limitless. Now we're finding out, wait, when were you born? Oh, okay, you're going to be a, sounds like a bunch of horoscopes, right? And the Gemara goes further. The Gemara says, no, we can clarify by other factors aside from the day of the week. In the second paragraph of source number 4, Amar Lehu Rabbi Chanina, when he heard about this ledger, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, he heard about this list, this newspaper clipping with all these different ideas, he said, Poku Amar Lehu Bar Levi, go tell Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Lo Mazal Yom Gorim. It's nonsense. Day of the week doesn't matter whatsoever. Ela Mazal Shah Gorim. It's based on the hour of the day, or which star or which planet is brightest in the sky. I don't know what any of this means, but we'll just read what the Gemara says about all the planets that they were aware of. So the Gemara says on the first line of second paragraph in source number 4, Haiman de Bechama, a person was born under the influence of the sun. I don't know what that means. When the sun is in a particular location, Yehegaver Zivasim, he'll be a shining person, for good and for bad. Yehachel midilei v'shasim midilei, like the sun, it has its own light. The person will be self-sufficient in terms of parnasam. The Razoi Galyam, but those secrets are going to be bright like the sun. They won't be able to conceal anything. Im Ganav Lo Mitzlach, if they try to steal anything, they're going to be arrested. They're not going to be able to cover up their secrets. Haiman de Bekochav Noga, a person born under the influence of Venus. Yehe Gaver Atir Vizanai, a person's going to be rich, they're going to be unfaithful. My time is shum dis Yale Be Nura, because Venus is this big fire, this big heat. Heat spreads and it travels around the world. It grows stronger and more wealthy, but also unconstrained and unable to be kept in check. Haiman de Bekocha, a person born under the influence of Mercury. Yehe Gaver Nair Vechacha, very bright. Mishum de Safra de Chama, but Mercury is the closest planet to the sun. It's like the scribe, it's like the assistant of the sun, and it helps keep track of everything. So you're going to be bright like a scribe. Haiman de Belevana, a person born under the influence of the moon. Yehe Gaver Salvo Marin, will suffer tragedy. Banai de Sasser, they'll build and have to take apart. Sasser Banai, take apart their projects, rebuild them, try again. Achel de lo delay v'shasi de lo delay. Like the moon, doesn't have its own light. It waxes and wanes, it comes and it goes, and doesn't have its own light. They're not going to be self-sufficient. For a zoi kassian, but they'll be able to be clouded, they'll be able to be shrouded in secrecy. And ganav mitzlach, if they want to be a robber, or a person be a bandit, that's going to work out pretty well for them. Haiman de b'shavtai, a person born under the influence of Saturn. Yehe gaver mechash machshavase betelin. Saturn comes from the word shabbos, to rest, to cancel work. So the person's plans are all going to be canceled. This the Amri called the Mechashon Olei Batlan, or in the positive sense, whoever tries to scheme against them, those plans are going to be foiled. They'll be able to supersede any plots against them. Haiman de Betzedek, person born under the influence of Jupiter, Yehe Gavar Tzadkan, there'll be a person who's always fair and righteous. Amr of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Betzadkan B'mitzvah, not just righteous in terms of justice and social justice, but even in terms of mitzvah performance. Here's the last one for the planets. Haiman de B'madim, person born under the influence of Mars. We hear about Mars. Mars is the god of... Not really, but what do they say about Mars? No, no one studied Greek mythology? Isn't Mars about war? Yehegavar Ashadama, a person born under the influence of Mars, is going to be a bloodthirsty person. Amar Ravashi, Iumna, Iganva, Itavcha, Imohala. But you're not stuck with that. A person's born bloody, but they can make themselves into a surgeon, work with blood. Iganva, they could be a mass murderer. Itavcha, they could be a butcher, they can work with shechting animals. Imohala, be a mohel. A lot of different options involving blood, but they're going to be some leaning toward blood. My favorite line in the whole shiur, Amar Rabba, Adavimadim Tavai. Rabba said, hey, wait a second, I was born under Mars. What are you saying about me? And Abai, his student, says, Amar Abai, Mar Nami Anashikatli. You're kind of an angry guy. Imagine him saying back, what do you mean? What are you talking about? But Rabba was a judge. Rabba used to punish people, give them malchus. He used to execute people who were guilty. So Abai says, yeah, why do you think you were fit to be a judge? Because you have this tendency to get hot-tempered, to get angry. So you look at this, Gemara, and what kind of sense do you get? Do you get a sense of Ein Mazal Yisrael? Do you get this sense that we have this transcendence above the stars, this ability to be anyone we want to be, and we're not bound by future? So you might say, no, this Mar is talking about temperament, talking about IQ, how smart someone is, how patient someone is, how angry someone is. But before, Avram was talking about children and things like that. Maybe when it comes to children, when it comes to future, we say, Ein Mazal Yisrael. Yeah. Unfortunately, look at source number 5. The Gemara has another statement about Mazel, which is very troubling. The Gemara says in source number 5, the Gemara at the end of Maseches Moed Katan, says, Amar Rava, Chaye, how long a person lives, Bane, if a person has children and how those children turn out, Umezone, having Parnasa, Lo Bezchus Italia Milsa, it's not based on a person's personal merit. There's no value in merit when it comes to people having children, or living a long life, or having good Parnasa, El B'mazla Talia Milsa. It's all based on your Mazel. Why does he say that? The Rabbi of Rav Chisda, he explains two great Jewish people, Rabbi we saw before, and Rav Chisda, who's actually Rabbi's father-in-law. Tarvayu Rabbanan Tzadiki Havu. Both Rabbi and Chisda were tremendously righteous, great, wonderful, kind people. Mar Matzei V'Asimitra. When they would daven for rain, it would rain instantly. They were both great tzadikim. But look at their fates. Rav Chisda, Chaya Tisha Mekaratim Shanim. Rav Chisda actually lived for 92 years. Rabbah Chaya Arbayin. Rabbah only lived for 40 years. Both righteous. On their own merit, it doesn't seem fair. One lived for 92, one lived till 40. Be Rav Chisda, Shisin Hilulei. Be Rabbah, Shisin Tichlei. Rav Chisda married off 60 of his kids, because it means children and grandchildren, and Be Rabbah ended up burying, having 60 funerals in his family. Last example, Be Rav Chisda, Semeda Lekalbe, Below Misbai, Rav Chisda was so wealthy they used to feed the highest quality food even to the animals, the dogs, and they were never lacking anything. Bei Rabba, in Rabba's house, Nahama Desare Le'inshi, even they were trying to feed people low quality food, Below Mishnachach, and they couldn't even find that. So Rabba looks around and he says, there must not be any rhyme or reason when it comes to how long a person lives, what their family is like, and if they're going to have Parnassa, because Rabba and Rav Chisda were seemingly equally righteous people. And yet they differ in terms of how long they lived, they differ in terms of how their families worked out, they differ in terms of whether they had good parnasa or not. So how can this be? And Rabbi says it must be that for these matters, it doesn't matter how righteous a person is. What matters is mazel. So now we have mazel seeming to matter not just for temperament and IQ, a person's personal characteristics. Now it sounds like mazel matters for fate, for future, for destiny. These are Jewish people we're talking about. What happened to Ein Mazel Yisrael? What's going on over here? Kodesh Baruch Hu promises Avram Avinu, Ko Yezarecha, you're going to transcend the stars, transcend the Itzdagninus, all the zodiac signs, and yet Jewish people are seemingly bound by this idea. These Gemaras don't go well together. The problem is the Gemaras are even the same Gemara, source 3 and source 4, is the same source, it's the same page in Masechta Shabbos. Ein Mazel Yisrael, many, many examples of how we know Ein Mazel Yisrael, we transcend all that stuff, that predetermined stuff, but day of the week, zodiac sign, all that stuff seems to matter in determining a person's future and how a person behaves. So what are we going to say about this? How are we going to reconcile these two Gemaras? So all the Rishonim, especially the medieval Rishonim, Bali Atosfos, all of them, they really go to town with this question to understand what does it mean, how can we reconcile? We're turning to now page number 2. So I'll give you what I called in section number 2, the best of the rest. Some of the answers that they came up with the question because they were so bothered. Some say, yeah, it's actually machlokes, whether we say Ein Mazel Yisrael. The Rashba in source number 7 gives that answer. Rashba in the 1300s, 1200s, he gave that answer because he was so bothered. These two Gemaras don't agree. Some Jewish people, some Jewish philosophers believed in Mazel and some didn't, and really there's no way to reconcile them. Source number 6, you can see, it was actually Machlokas in the time of the Gemara, whether Mazel Yisrael or Ein Mazel Yisrael. And source number 8, Tosfos, they ask the question again, how can it be? How can we say that there's a mazal Yisrael if children and life and parnasa are all predetermined? So Tosfos say, well, maybe really there is mazal, where it's underlined in source number 8, Mikol makom, al yedei zechus gadol mishtana. Maybe you have a super merit if you have some kind of tremendous circumstance like Avram Avinu, then things can change. But sometimes not. Sometimes a person really is stuck with mazel in terms of how long they live, in terms of whether they have children, how long the children live. And the idea of parnasa, sometimes these things are really predetermined and the person can't change them. Tosfos try to say, the Gemara meant sometimes these things change, but sometimes not. That doesn't fit the words so well. Ein mazel Yisrael sounds like a categorical, we're not bound by this stuff. And Tosfos say, well, we kind of are, but sometimes we can have the lucky opportunity to sometimes, once in a while, change it. Doesn't fit the words as well as we would like to see it. Rabbeinu B'chai, one of the other Rishonim, in source number 9, he has another type of split. In source number 9, where it's underlined, he says, Be'er Hadavar, what does it mean, Ein Mazel Yisrael? Very limiting. B'chlal Yisrael, the Jewish nation as a whole. Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling Avraham Avinu, the Jewish people, the nation, is not bound by the limitations of Mazel, Avol B'pratam, but individual people, Yesh Mazel Chol Echad V'Echad. Each person really is bound by some sort of Mazel, Sharei Chachmas HaMazelos, Chachma Gedola Mufa'arahi. Ein Chazal Machishin also. That Chazal don't disagree with the fact that there is power to the stars, there's power to the planets, there's power to the sun and the moon. Again, very hard to understand what that means. What would the takeaway be for us if that was the case? That for each particular person, that there is mazel, but for the nation as a whole, there is not. I'm sure there's different ways to explain these Rishonim and what they must have meant, but I want to share with you 3 different approaches with the time that we have left to walk away with some practical takeaways. How can we relate to these ideas? How can we both balance the idea of Ein Mazel Yisrael? How can we say that we somehow have the ability to transcend? How can we say that our potential is limitless? And yet reconcile with the idea that we're still going to have some sort of predetermined stuff that maybe with our own eyes we see. Certain people lean towards certain personality traits. People learn more a certain sense of luck. Luck not in the sense of haphazard, but some people seem to be born with a lot of wealth. They're born into a family, they have opportunities, they're able to go to good schools, and they're able to pay into private college, and they're able to go here. Certain people really are born into societies, or born into families, where they have more opportunities. You can't really deny that, right? People don't choose their generation, they don't choose their families, right? You can't really pick these things. So to some degree, we all have to acknowledge there's some level of predetermined fate when it comes to our personalities, and when it comes to a person's fate and future. But at the same time, what does Ein Mazel Yisrael mean? Any ideas? Is it raining outside? Yes.
Maybe that our relationship, it depends on our relationship with Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, when you talk about there being Mazel, it kind of sounds like, it's like the idea of, it's like a, or you go to a rug for a bracha or things like that. If we attribute belief in these things, they can have. Like, we don't live in a time that we have a Lugazara, but there was a time that that was strong and believed in and people were privy to it. But if we're able to go above that and have a relationship with Hashem, then maybe that's how you...
Mm-hmm. So these powers maybe are like the default, and if we can rise above these powers by connecting with Hashem, we can override these powers.
Yes.
Right? Good, that's going to be our first approach. Very good. Other ideas?
But some people might not want to override those powers. So then what about those people? They shouldn't have a relationship with Hashem because they already have it good.
Uh-huh. They're born into wealth and born into kindness and brilliance. And maybe they say, you know what? Let's leave things the way they are. Right? Good question. Other approaches? Ideas? Thoughts?
I think maybe the part about like Klal Yisrael is saying that like based on like what we do, it's not going to impact like whether Mashiach comes, like so that kind of like impact, but like on an individual level, if someone does right or wrong, that will impact like their
module. So you're saying, well, it says the opposite, right? It says when it comes to Klal Yisrael, then we say Ein Mazel Yisrael, right?
Right. Meaning, so an individual person could have Mazel
right.
for the good or for the bad, but what we do, but like let's say whether Mashiach is going to come. In any generation, is left up to our actions. It's
uh-huh.
not just like mazel.
Uh-huh. Always balancing each person's action and how it affects the cloud, Jewish destiny, Jewish fate, Jewish future as a whole. Yeah, that's probably what Rebbe Chaya means. You're probably right. So let's take a look at the approaches with the time that we have left. So Rebbe Chaya, again, one of the Rishonim, he's a Talmud of the Rashba, commentary on Chumash, very often quotes the Ramban, passed away in the year 1320. So he's a pretty early source. Rebbe Chaya, you can find him in most many across Gedolos Chumashim. So Rabbeinu Bachai, aside from the source number 9 giving us the answer about Klal versus Yachid, he has another approach which is phenomenal, where he talks about the power of tefillah. And this idea, Rabbeinu Bachai explains, he works with the assumption that Chazal definitely believed in the power of the stars, the power of the zodiac, or the power of the planets. Chazal believed in all these things. The thing is that he understands, which I think is a good approach, that these are servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are powers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in place that help run the world. They're like malachim. Their job is to carry out their shlichas, to influence how they influence. But Hashem is the CEO who helps pull the strings and normally allows the world to operate b'derech hateva, which we understand. We have forces of gravity, we have forces of evaporation, we have all kinds of things that kind of happen naturally, happen without Hashem's direct involvement. I'm putting that in air quotes over here. Because the world functions naturally when it comes to the solar system. That Chazal understood. But the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow is transcending and is in charge of that, and somehow we have the ability to access him and bypass all those other powers. Rabbeinu Bachai is commenting on a pasuk at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. In source number 10, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, "Hein karvu yamecha lamus," your days of dying are approaching. That language is strange. The days of your dying are approaching? That sounds like his death date was predetermined, and that end date in mind is approaching. Rabbeinu Bachai explains, yes, that a person's life, as Chazal say, Bani Chaya Mizonai, a person's life is predetermined, and a person can live longer, live shorter, but really a person has a set date, a set end date in mind when they are born. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to transcend these things because he created these things and he put these things in motion. That's what he explains. You look at the third paragraph where it's underlined. He says, "V'chena emes ki Hashem yisparach nasan lehem koach be'es yitzirasam lehol lehazak." Hashem created these forces to have actual power. "Avahu yisparach im hayo shemasa lehem koach lefol b'shvalim." He gave them the power to work, but hinei kochal yisparach elyon ala kol. Hashem still maintains the complete control. He has the reins over all these powers. He's the CEO. He's the architect. He's the one pulling the strings. He's the one who allows these things to function. And even if these things have some kind of influence, they have some kind of idea. All right, Ben Rechai is now addressing the issue of fate more than he is temperament and IQ. When it comes to the issue of fate, these things really are predetermined. But if we have the ability, and we do, to connect with Hashem, turning to page number 3, we have the ability to connect with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means we have the ability to transcend with the power of tefillah. If you look at the first line on page number 3, Ki lechach nikra shakai. Why is Hashem called shakai? Al shem shemishadeid hamaracha lo menatzeach osa. Meshadeid means to steal. Hashem kind of overrides the system. Hashem kind of like intervenes and presses the failsafe. Va'kolafi haschar va'onesh. Now we're starting to get the terms we're familiar with, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually gets involved. And if that's the case, he says, on the end of the first line, V'imkein beir ha'maimer, when Chazal say amoyed katan, b'nei chayu mizone labiz chusat al yamilsa. This idea that fate is determined not by a person's merit, but by a person's mazel, he says, at the end of the line, Hushabal hodianu kama gadol koach ha'tfila. How much power we have when it comes to tefillah. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the power above all the powers. When it comes to most things, he says, you don't even need to daven for it. Kadosh Baruch Hu might update you when it comes to, I don't know, a person stubbing their toe. So that might be the kind of thing Hashem will prevent you from stubbing your toe, even without you davening for it. That's why we say there's mazel for those things, right? That maybe those things are happening as they go. And Chazal say, so maybe there's no mazel for those things, right? Those things kind of happen. Hashem's kind of watching over us and stops us from stubbing our feet. But when it comes to Banei Chayu Mizone, when Chazal said those things are completely tali and mazel, Chazal said these are the things where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to daven. And if we don't daven, there is some preset determined outcome. How long a person's going to live, if they're going to have children, how those kids are going to pan out, how much wealth, how much money a person's going to have, those really are predetermined. But if a person davens, then we say, Ein mazel Yisrael. We say, you're not confined. As long as you don't daven, you don't have a relationship with Hashem, you're going to be bound by the normal forces of the world, the workers who help keep your paycheck, you're bound by them. But if you go to the CEO, you kind of bypass the whole system, right? I've seen videos of people walking into their own company, and the guards don't know who they are, and they say, ID please, right? And they say, I'm the CEO of this company, or my father is the CEO. So you might be normally bound by the security guards and the barricades and all the usual ways of how people are kept in check. But if you know the CEO, if you're related, or you are the CEO, so you get to bypass all that stuff, right? You get to bypass the normal restrictions and limitations and framework for how the world is run. And it quotes examples when it comes to these three things. Rachel Imenu wasn't supposed to have children. Really, all the Avos and the Imos weren't supposed to have children. But they davened, and they screamed out to Hashem, and they superseded that. They had a relationship with Hashem. Ein mazel Yisrael. We're not that we're not governed by these forces, but we're not limited. We're not stuck governed by these forces. We're governed by these forces unless we go over their head, unless we go to Hashem. We dive and have a relationship with them. Rachel was answered for children. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was ill and was going to die and earned 15 extra years of life. Eliyahu HaNavi was on the run during a famine, couldn't get food. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent ravens to bring him food. So Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar quotes at the end of source number 11. This idea that yes, a person is bound by fate, a person is bound by how things are supposed to go, but they can be outpaced, they can be overridden. There's a failsafe. Kadosh Baruch Hu is able to stop that. And in source number 12, that's how Chazal really understand the relationship with the Avos. Kadosh Baruch Hu made all the Avos and all the Imahos barren. Even Leah, who doesn't seem to be, look at the Pesukim, Parshas Vayetze, Hashem opened up Leah's womb, implying it was closed. All the Avos and the Imahos were created barren. And the Gemara says, you know why? Look at verse number 12. Am Rabbi Yitzchak b'pneimah hayu avoseinu akurim. Why were all of our forefathers and foremothers, why were they created unable to have children? B'pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'avel et tefilasan shel tzadikim. Hashem wants that relationship. Hashem desired that relationship to override the system. The Gemara talks about this idea of tefilas of tzadikim are overturning the world. They're messing up all these forces that are in place. This is the first takeaway. This is the idea. It relates more to fate than temperament. But this is the idea that yes, there's Mazal Yisrael. Yes, there's an idea about a predetermined life a person's supposed to live. But when it comes to Yisrael, the special relationship that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, with the CEO, we can bypass this idea. We can bypass any restrictions and really any future, even if it's against our predetermined outcome, we can actually change it. That's the first takeaway, very important idea about tefillah. So we have to keep in mind when we daven. When we daven to Hashem, we are overriding all the powers in the world. She was over. If you look at source number 13, I'll give you a second approach. From the Me'iri, another one of the Rishonim, passed away in the early 1300s. On the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, on the topic of temperament and about the Jupiter, all that fun, exciting stuff, he writes, source number 13, Mipinot Hadat, from the cornerstones of our faith and religion, Umiyasodos Ha'amuna, and from the cornerstones of our faith, Lahamin Shabachira Biyad Ha'adam, B'chol Pagulosav. Each person has free will. Person is not bound. Now he's talking about temperament, he's talking about IQ. Person isn't bound by this stuff. Even though Chazal knew, and we have this idea that people seem to have a leaning towards certain nature, towards certain tendencies, proclivities, on the second line, person does not lose a sense of free will. No one is ever forced. Person who sins is doing it by choice, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu did give him free will to do that. So what does that mean? He writes an amazing thing. If you skip down to the third paragraph, the second paragraph he says, I'm sorry, the second paragraph is important. Second paragraph he explains as follows. He says, the Torah was given to us to be able to learn how to change our nature. Yes, people are born with a certain anger, a certain sense of impatience, certain sense of sticky fingers, certain sense for no regard for other people. Person is not sensitive, or others are sensitive. But the mitzvos, he says, were given to us to learn how to overcome those. Everyone has different challenges, and in some area or another, things that may be easy for one person are actually quite challenging for someone else. But the purpose of mitzvos, the idea of having tariag mitzvos, of having learning musar, the idea of having a relationship with Hashem, not just in terms of tefillah, but in terms of shmiras ha-mitzvos, so these are the opportunities that we have to actually push back against our nature. In the second paragraph, he explains that a person was born stingy. We have mitzvos for this. Not just tzedakah and chesed, things like that, but a person also, when it comes to shmita, a person having to give up their stuff and say, it doesn't belong to me. That's meant to change a person's life, to change a person's nature and say, I've been so stingy, I feel like everything is mine, I feel so entitled, I feel so angry all the time. Or a person who is very promiscuous, a person who can't keep their you know, their eyes in their head. So there's mitzvos about these things. When it comes to Arayos, is another example that he gives. Right? These mitzvos were meant to train us. If you look at Avodas Hashem, is not as much of random restrictions or things that Hashem needs, but really to perfect a person's character. Yes, people are born with different deficiencies, except for my wife. But people are born with different leanings toward this way or another way. But the idea is that Hashem gave us the tools also to fight against these things. And then comes the most amazing line in the third paragraph. He says, "V'al tabit l'mamar ha'omer yesh mazel liYisrael." Don't even worry about any Gemara that seems to say there is mazel, or Chazal saying that faith, life, and children is all based on mazel. You know what he says in the first line in the third paragraph? He says, "Shepa'avim hayu kitzas chachamim nevuchim b'ra'osam ha'eder hasidur bo'fani anush v'gamol b'nei adam." Our sages were sometimes so angry and so confused when they saw bad things happening to good people. And more than an actual mesorah, he's arguing, this is a radical idea, more than an actual mesorah or an actual Jewish value that yeah, it's all up to mazel, it was more the frustrated complaints or annoyances, confusion of people who said, why is that fair? Why is Rav Chisda living to 92 and Rabba's only living till 40? Why is he marrying off 60 kids and why is he burying an entire family? Why does he have so much food and he has so little? And they said, Bani Chaim and Mizone are not based on merit, they're all based on mazel. It's not true. It's not true. Radical idea. He says, those Gemaras are wrong. What? Not wrong. Those Gemaras are the frustrations and the actually, very often, the normal human reaction when we see tragedy. It doesn't make sense. Why do they deserve that? The answer is, we don't know. We don't understand how this stuff works. It's not based on a person's particular deserving or not deserving. The idea is, everything is predetermined. Which is much more an idea about making sense of tragedy than it is about actually explaining how the world works. He says, don't listen to that stuff. It doesn't matter so much. Ein mazal Yisrael really means that we're not bound by any of that stuff. We're not bound by fate, by temperament. We have mitzvos to challenge temperament, and we have this idea of relationship with Hashem. We have schar ve'onesh, which really makes sense. When we don't know how to explain it, we say, there's a plan, there's something else out there. So that's our second takeaway for tonight. First takeaway, this is the idea that tefillah is this way to supersede everything, to go beyond Ein mazal Yisrael. Second idea is when it comes to our midos, we have the ability to retrain ourselves, the ability to push back against these tendencies that we lean towards, and mitzvot are actually meant to help guide us in that direction. I just want to end off tonight with one more idea, kind of similar to what the Meiri said about mitzvot giving us a way to learn how to take our inborn natures and twist it and kind of guide it a different way. But unlike the Meiri, who says that the idea is to learn how to change our nature, how to push back against our nature, the idea also could be to learn how to channel our nature. And this really is expressed very beautifully. One of our final sources for the evening, in source number 14, Maror Maseches Nida, has an amazing comment about the idea of predisposition. The Gemara says, Darash Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, in source number 14, Osa Malach HaMamuna Al Harayon Lailashma. There is an angel in charge of conception, in charge of determining what a child is going to grow up to be. And this angel's name is Laila. When the embryo is about to be created, he asks Hashem, Omer Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Tipa Zo Mat Tehele, what's going to happen to this baby when it becomes a baby? Gibor HaChalash, will it be strong or will it be weak? Chacham HaTipesh, will it be intelligent or not? Asher O Ani, is it going to be rich, going to be poor? All of that is predetermined, the Gemara says. V'ilu Rasha O Tzadik Lo Kamar. But the angel does not ask, will this person grow up to be a good person? Because that, the Gemara explains, Hakol Bidei Shemayim, Chutz Mi Yireh Shemayim. The idea about a person doing good things is completely up to the person's individual free choice. The Torah Tamima says that this Gemara can easily explain the biggest question of all time. Tzadik V'ralo, Rasha V'tovlo. Moshe Rabbeinu himself grappled with this question. How can it be people are doing the right thing and they're suffering? They have poverty, they're not healthy, and people who are doing the wrong thing and they seem to prosper. He says, the Gemara told us that a person's health and a person's wealth are predetermined. And then they can grow up to be whatever they want to be. So a person who's a tzaddik and is suffering was going to suffer anyway. That was predetermined. They were going to be weak, they were going to be sick, they were going to be poor. They chose to be a tzaddik. Fantastic. They're a tzaddik who's poor. A person who was determined to be strong and healthy and successful and rich and then ends up choosing to do averos, so what? They're a rasha, v'tovlo. Because they chose to be a Rasha, but they had a predetermined life to have a lot of intelligence and have a lot of money and have a lot of influence and a lot of honor. This idea is that there are certain aspects that are predetermined, but what we do with them is up to us. It makes it hard for us to understand how the world works, and that's okay. I'm okay with not understanding how Hashem runs the world, that's okay. But in terms of understanding what's up to us and what's not, the question isn't about what were you given. It's how do you use it? Look back at the Gemara in source number 15 that we really mentioned in the opening. That's what the Gemara said. A person born under Mars, for example, is going to be bloody. But bloody doesn't determine your future. You could be a murderer. You could be a mohel, use it for a mitzvah. You could be a shochet and make food for Shabbos. A person could be a doctor and save lives. Right? They're all out there. The tendency is there. But a person can channel it somewhere else. You know, Freud called this sublimation. Freud read a story when he was young about a young boy who used to torture animals. And when he grew up, he became a surgeon. And Freud said, this kid learned to channel his dissection tendencies, not toward becoming Jeffrey Dahmer, but instead toward becoming a surgeon. The tendency was there. For those with kids, look around at your kids and what they're interested in. It's like, why are they interested in that? Like, why do they care? Because kids are born with certain natural interests. And the question is, what are they going to do with it? Are they going to use it this way? Are they going to use it that way? That's really the question we have to ask ourselves. How do we use our talents? And we'll wrap up with this. I read a beautiful mashal of Ben Zion Schaefer, who's the founder of the Shmuz, lot of podcasts and books. He says, think about actors on a play, actors in a movie. They're very often judged in this academy to determine who's a good actor, who's a bad actor, and what accolades they should get. They don't care about the content of the character. They care about how well you play the character. Think of how many villains. I think of from my childhood, the Joker from the Batman from The Dark Knight. Right, Heath Ledger won an Academy Award for playing the Joker. No one said, what? How can I give him an award? He's a bad guy. He's a villain. He kills people. He's a sociopath. And he blows up buildings and he dismembers people. The actor is judged on how well he plays the character. The character is predetermined by the director, by the writers. They decide what the character is going to be. Now the question becomes, how well do you play the character that you're meant to play? An interesting idea. I think of this all the time. Because think about how meaningful this idea is. We don't get to determine our IQ. We don't get to determine our temperament. These things are, according to Chazal and according to modern science, predetermined. How smart a person is, how personable a person is, a lot of these things can be worked on and improve little by little, but for the most part, these things are predetermined. So the question becomes, can we channel these things toward the best? Can we use mitzvahs? Can we use the life around us to become the best version of ourselves that we can be? Can we play the role effectively? At the end of our lives, when we come up to Shemayim, Shemayim is not going to want to know, were you rich or poor? That's predetermined. Who cares? How smart were you? Who cares? How accomplished were you? Who cares? What does that matter? It's predetermined. What kind of family did you have? In some degree, these things are predetermined. So why would a person be judged based on those factors? We're not. The question is, how well did you play the role? That's Ein Mazal Yisrael. You're not confined to that. Maybe every person to some degree has this, but for Yisrael with mitzvos, to channel it toward proper things, Ein Mazal Yisrael. We're not confined by that. We have the ability to sum it up together. As the Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, Ko Yezaracha, your children are going to be beyond any fate, beyond any limitation. When it comes to temperament, when it comes to IQ, there'll be something there, but you can transcend it. You can direct it towards something else. So our takeaways for this evening. Number one, Rabbi Reina B'chai explained to us that fate, that the idea of fate exists, that the powers that govern the world do govern our lives, but we can transcend that. Ein Mazal Yisrael means we can override that by going straight to the CEO and having a relationship with him and change all those things. Number two, the Meiri's idea that a person can actually use mitzvot to retrain their natures, to take the things they don't like about themselves and alter it. Be a different person. Don't be the angry person. Don't be the stingy person. You can actually turn that all around. And the third, the outgrowth of that idea is that mitzvot are here to help us push back against our natures, but mitzvot are also here to help us learn to channel, not to fight against our natures per se, but to learn how to tilt our natures and how to say, if this is the role, this is the acting job I've been given, how can I play the role the best way that I can? Ultimately, Kadosh Baruch Hu should judge us each for Bani Chaim Mizone for good things. Thank you all so much for inviting me to speak and for coming and joining us this evening in our home. Looking forward to hopefully another opportunity.
Thank you.